good evening. It is a privilege and an honor to be here tonight with you guys. And thanks to Pastor McMath, who trusts me. And he usually has me preaching when he's not there so I can say whatever I want. But too bad Brother Jason's always recording, so I can't express myself rightfully. Just kidding. No, it is a blessing. I can say that I grew up in this church, and it's been such a blessing to grow up as a Christian in a good Christian church with good Christian values, and more than that, with good doctrine. A lot of people are abandoning good doctrine because of their own comfort and their own interest. But we should always uphold God's word in spite of our personal preferences. Amen. So tonight's message is called Characteristics of a Mature Christian. Characteristics of a Mature Christian. If you can go with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verses 12 through 23. If you can all stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 23. I'll read them all. You can just follow me there with your eyes. And it reads like this. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and pray, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Father, for allowing me to be here tonight. Thank you for the privilege that you give me to preach your word. Help me to preach it, Lord, mainly with the example. With a good example, Lord, testifying by my own acts, the works you've done in my life, and how you've changed me, and how you're working in me, Lord, and how you're making me into the image of your Son Jesus. But also help me to pray with the power of your Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, this evening tonight, Lord, to allow your Spirit to speak to us, and if there's anybody who has become unmature, spiritually speaking, Lord, that this preaching would speak to that person. Lord, help us to be stronger in the Lord. Help us to grow, spiritually speaking. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today, or in these days, Christians ignored in a certain manner what a mature Christian is. They think and believe that a mature Christian is someone that just goes to church and has been in church for many, many, many years. And we have the wrong concept of what a mature Christian is when we've become unmature. And not because somebody has been in church for 10, 15, 20, 30 years means that person, it's a mature Christian. Maturity comes when you work out through your spiritual life. And I don't want to confuse anybody of you. We're going to be reading some verses here in a little later on today. But first of all, I just want to say what characteristics we should have of being a spiritual person. If we read the context, the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonian church about the will of God. In chapter 4, it tells them that the will of God is the sanctification of themselves. And then later on in chapter 4, he explains them that Jesus will rapture the church. He'll come for the church. And then in chapter 5, in verse number 1, and verse number 2, it speaks about when the Antichrist will come. And it says in verse number 1, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So it is very interesting how the Apostle Paul presents them all these subjects, that he goes from the Christian sanctification, the Christian holiness, into the rapture of the church. But while that happens, the Apostle Paul tells them how they ought to live until Christ comes, and how they have to be mature Christians. We read of the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that they were carnal Christians. They were fighting against each other. They were envying each other. They had arguments in church, and they were just acting as carnal, as heathen per se, and like that, not showing that they knew the Lord. And then also the Apostle Paul tells this church, this is how you have to live. Just be a mature Christian. We're going to be reading later on in Hebrews chapter 5 what a non-mature Christian is or has in his life. And we read in verse number 12, very importantly, that a mature Christian respects authority. In verse number 12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." An unmature Christian laughs at authority. An unmature Christian laughs at his pastor, at his authority, at his spiritual leader. But when we mature, when we receive the Word of God and we serve the Lord and we learn about the Lord, we learn on how to esteem, on how to appreciate God's servant upon my life. Now, God's servant, or the servant that God has upon my life, is not a perfect human. He's just as human as any of us. And one thing that I've learned is that if my pastor messes up and then if he commits a mistake, he's going to be accountable to God, not to me. My work is to respect him. My work is to esteem him. My work is to take care of him. See, now this next year, we're going to be celebrating 50 years of the anniversary of this church. And I think, I believe it was since 1988 that Pastor MacMath came to be a pastor of this church. How many years is that? That's like 23, right? Nah, that's the year I was born. It was 30. It's 35. I was just trying to tell you I'm a little younger, but nobody laughed at that. 35 years in service. How much do you appreciate your pastor? How much do you show your appreciation towards him by submitting to him and by following his leadership? It's not easy being a pastor. It's not easy telling people what they don't like to hear, and it's not easy to say yes to somebody and to say no to another person. There's a lot of conflicts in church, but at the end, God puts a servant on your church, on your life, to direct your life, and you should be appreciated of that. If we have a good pastor, you don't have an idea of how many churches are suffering because they don't have a pastor. They've been without a pastor for years. They've been without a good leader for years. Yeah, there's preachers that go in through the church and they preach good messages, but there's nothing like to have a good pastor that cares for the heart of the people. And we should be appreciated of that. Well, spiritual maturity brings appreciation of leadership. If you don't appreciate your leader, if you don't appreciate your pastor, that means you need maturity. You need to mature. Let's go to the book of Hebrews real quick. In chapter 5, we read of some Christians that had been Christians for many, many years, but that was not a sign of maturity. Hebrews chapter 5. And we read in verse number 11, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." See, when we don't appreciate leadership, we are like little kids bringing pastor all kinds of problems and troubles. See, one of the things that I've learned in the Spanish ministry, I mean, I'm under Pastor McMath, right? And I could come to Pastor McMath and bring him all the gossip in the Spanish ministry and bring him all the problems in the Spanish ministry, tell him that Ms. Marshall left for 3 weeks and could not play the piano because she just went on vacation. I could come and say to Pastor McMath, "Hey, Ms. Marshall didn't come to church." But you know what? I need to be mature. He has placed me in a location of leadership because he trusts me. And the least thing that I should do is bring him more burden for the ministry. I can't be immature in regards to that. I have God on my side, which helps me, gives me wisdom to direct the Spanish ministry. And yes, I mean, I do communicate with Pastor McMath, but I don't come and tell him, "Hey, Pastor McMath, there's somebody in the Spanish ministry that yelled at me. What should I do?" That's immature. And a lot of times we've been in church for 20, 30 years and we should be teachers. We should be telling people how to live their Christian lives, but we can't do that because we still like pastor to give us the bottle. We still like pastor to pat us on the back and to change the diaper and say, "Hey, you 20-year-old baby, come here, I'll help you out." But that's a big sign of immaturity. Maturity involves appreciating pastor for what he is, a leader, not a mother. Do I make sense? I mean, he has a heart of a father. I know that for a fact. I mean, he's been as a father unto me for many, many years, ever since I came to this church. But I realize I have to grow up in the Lord. I can't be crying for everything. And you know what's another way to support our pastor? To be in every service. That's a very good way to support our pastor. "Oh, pastor, I have a headache. I can't make it to church." But you go like that to work, right? So what's the difference? I mean, I'm not saying you don't ever get sick and that when you get sick, you have to go everywhere. But what I'm saying is, if you do things for the world, why don't you do them for the Lord? Why do we put all kinds of excuses for the Lord when we do all those things for the world? Do I make sense? That's another way of supporting our pastor, supporting our leader, that person that God has placed on our lives. How else do we appreciate our pastor? By praying for him. Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for his weaknesses? Do you pray for strength, spiritual strength, physical strength, for his health? You don't know what pastor goes through. All kinds of situations at the church that could give him high blood pressure, that could even give him a stroke. You have no idea of what pastor goes through. You should be appreciative, and I'm pretty sure most of you are appreciative of pastor and you pray for him. What's another way of appreciating our leader? By sustaining him financially. And yes, our church gives him a salary. And I don't know if I should say this. I don't know if I'm the right person to say this, but one thing that I do know of our pastor, that he has a giving heart. And that a lot of what he receives, he gives it away. Do we sustain financially our pastor? Do we appreciate him? Do you come and say, hey, pastor, I know you receive a salary, but apart from your salary, I'm going to give you a love offering. I'm not saying this for you to do it, but I'm saying this for you to think on how to be appreciative of our pastor. He didn't ask me to do this. Just God put this message on my heart. That's how we appreciate our pastor. How else do we appreciate our pastor? By taking care of his family. There's nothing better for a pastor to feel that his family is appreciated at the church. You know, his kids are not called, but they're here. His kids are not called, but they have to submit. His kids are not called, but they have to follow all the rules. And a lot of people are harsh and they're rude and then they criticize the pastor and any pastor per se like that by criticizing his family. They're not perfect kids. Andrew's the ugliest one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, brother. It was just a joke. No, brother Luke is the ugliest. They're just like your kids. They're human. They have weaknesses. They have temptations. They have their own personalities. But that's another way of appreciating our leader. Maturity, spiritual maturity, makes us appreciate our leader. Number two, spiritual maturity helps us to be at peace with other people. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we read in verse number 13 that says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I can say this out of first hand that a very noticeable sign of bond maturity is not to have peace with other people. See, we're in a church full of humans. We are all sinners. There's no perfect person here. Not even one. The only perfect one was Jesus Christ. Amen? And we all have different preferences. We all have different personalities. We all like different foods. We all like different places. We all like different brands of cars. We all like different brands of clothing. We all like all kinds of different things. And God is not asking you to get rid of your personal preferences. Let's say this person likes rice, the other person likes beans. One person likes green chili, the other person likes red chili. One person who has not found the Lord completely yet likes Ford, and the other one likes Chevy. I can't say that anymore because I already have a Ford. But we all have personal preferences. God is not asking you to abandon your personal preferences. What God is asking you to do is to be mature and to be at peace with everybody. But if you're not at peace with God, you can't be at peace with all the other persons. See, one sign that a person is not right with God is because that person is fighting with everybody. That person is criticizing everybody. That person is pointing the finger at everybody. Yeah, we all make mistakes. Yes, we all sin. And one thing that God has been teaching me throughout this year is to give it to God and leave it in His hands. And let God deal with the individual. And worry about myself. Worry about me, what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. Hey, if I'm doing something wrong, I have to focus on myself to change that out. That's a sign of maturity. A sign of bond maturity is for you to be focusing on other people's lives without changing yours. Being a pastor gives you a different heart. And a lot of times people don't understand that heart. And when somebody sins and when somebody goes astray or away from God, the pastor's heart hurts. I've been the Spanish ministry pastor for almost 10 years now in June. And I can tell you of many times that I've tried to convince people of their wrongdoing. And I've cried over people who have messed up their lives. It hurts me because I love them. But one thing I realize is my job is not to change people. My job is just to preach God's word and to help whoever wants to be helped. I remember Brother Gomez one time, whenever I first started in the Spanish ministry, he told the people in the Spanish ministry, Brother Gilberto will be the pastor of those who will let him be a pastor. He can't force anybody to be pastored. And throughout this 10 years, I've had to have my heart broken over people and learn that principle that I can't pastor whoever doesn't want to be pastored. I've gotten discouraged over other people's decision. I've got discouraged over the bad decisions of people. And then I realized the decisions of other people are not worth my spiritual stability. My job is to pray for them. My job is to love them. But I can't unattend my heart because somebody else messed up. How many people get discouraged in church because somebody else messes up? How many people don't come to church services because somebody didn't say hi to them? Or because somebody did something bad to them? You see, you put your spiritual stability and your spiritual welfare in the decisions of bad Christians when you do that. And then you become immature. Yeah, we all have discouragements, and it is hard not to get discouraged over somebody else's bad decisions. But at the end of the day, you are going to answer to God for your own life, not for that person's life. And when we understand that principle, we get maturity. We become more solid in God's word. One of the things that really encouraged me as a Christian, not as a pastor, but as a Christian, is to see a lot of faces here in church that I met back in 2001 when I first met the church. You know what that means? Spiritual maturity. They're in church over the years. Hey, there's been many people going through this church that are not here anymore. Some of them are in the world. Some of them are somewhere else. But it is an encouragement to see Christians, faithful Christians, older than me that have given me a good example of what maturity is. You go to church even if somebody doesn't say hi to you. You go to church even if somebody gets mad at you or if you get mad at somebody. You be at church. I remember a pastor teaching me when I was in the academy. You need to be at church whether you want to or not. You need to be at church whether it's raining or not. You need to be at church whether it's snowing or not. You need to be at God's house. You need to be fed. I am so glad Pastor taught me all kinds of convictions that I uphold to this day now. Christian maturity, spiritual maturity. Be at peace with everybody. We're not perfect. We all have different preferences. We all look different. Some are more handsome. Some of us are more ugly. Be at peace with the ugly ones. Number three. Another characteristic of a mature Christian is that he has the moral authority to exhort others with love and with his own example. Verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. That word, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, unruly or unruly, but that word means a person being rebellious, a person not being willing to submit or to be disciplined. When you have the moral authority to go exhort somebody, that means that you have spiritual maturity. It's not that you're telling people how to live. It's just that you're telling people they just need to follow the book. Amen? It's not that you're going to go and seek who's living their life, how they're living. You're not going to go onto Facebook and hack their account and see if they're living rightly. But if you see somebody doing what's wrong, and if you're a spiritual Christian, if you're a mature Christian, you should have the moral authority to go to say to that person, brother, you're giving a bad testimony. Don't do it in front of everybody, because a lot of times we like to embarrass people in front of everybody else just to show us important or to show us better than them. But it's not about that. It's about going to them alone and saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, I saw you doing this. Hey, according to the word of God, I'm also a sinner, but let me tell you, brother, I love you. And I don't want anybody to see the bad testimony you're giving, because it's going to affect you and it's going to affect the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times we're afraid of saying things to people because they'll get mad, but maybe you can make a difference on one person's life. But if you're going to do that, remember this, you got to live by the example. You can't just go and say to people, hey, you got to live like this, and then you live like the devil. It's not about that. You got to be a spiritual Christian. You got to be a mature Christian. Hey, we're a family, right? You see your brother, your sister in the flesh doing something that's going to mess up their life, what do? Do you just cross your arms and stay quiet? No. You go to them and tell them, hey, brother, hey, sister, I love you, but you're doing this wrong. Hey, that guy that's behind you, he's a bad man. Shouldn't we do that as brothers in Christ too? Shouldn't we tell somebody, hey, you haven't been to church, we miss you. Is everything okay? Well, you're nobody to know my personal life. Well, maybe, but we're still a family in the Lord. The Bible says that we ought to pray for each other, right? We ought to pray. You ought to ask, is everything good with your health? Is everything good with your spiritual life? Are you discouraged? You don't have to tell me if you're sinning, but is there something wrong in your spiritual life? Something that I can pray for you, brother? Hey, can I invite you to eat? Do you guys have good fellowship? I mean, I don't spend too much time on this side in the English anymore, but do you spend good fellowship? Do you invite somebody to eat at your house? And it's not for the food, but it's more for the fellowship, for the encouragement. Hey, I'm going to be a blessing to that person. I'm going to invite that person on Sunday to eat. You know what? You don't even have to invite them to eat. Just invite them for a coffee. Just chat with them. Tell them your blessings. Remember that song we sing? How does that go? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. It doesn't say keep them to yourself. Keep your blessings to yourself alone. Right? It doesn't say that. It says count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Am I singing it right? I have the Spanish version on my mind. But see, a lot of times we forget what Christianity is about, what maturity is about. Well, I have my own life. I have my own problems. I don't bother anybody, and I don't want anybody to bother me. That's just pride. We all need each other. We all need each other. We need the ugly ones. We need the handsome ones. We all need each other. Are you with me tonight? Are you awake? Amen. Number four. A mature Christian encourages the discouraged. We read verse number 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." You know what I sometimes dislike of Christianity? That when we have followed God's principles as best as we could, and we've made the best decisions we could, we're harsh to people that have messed up. We're not patient with them. And we think that everybody else should have the same spiritual strength that we have, right? Hey, it's easy for me not to smoke. It's easy for me not to drink. They shouldn't do it. And then we find somebody in church that has a weakness, and then we tell them, well, just don't do it. But you know, you don't know how hard it is to have victory over a weakness or over a temptation that you haven't been through. And we're not patient. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 6 real quick. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. The Galatian church was a church that had led some bad people influence their spiritual life. They had become harsh to the weak ones, to the ones that have fallen from their Christian walk. And the Apostle Paul exhorts them, telling them, verse number 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are" what? Spiritual, synonym of mature. "Restore such an one in the spirit of" what? "Meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And not also that, verse number 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he's nothing," listen to the last part of verse number 3, "he deceiveth himself." Hey, we're not more holy because of what we're doing. We're more holy because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And according to Ephesians chapter 6, our goal is to be coming to the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's our goal, to become holy just as He is holy. But remember, we are still flesh. We still have temptations. Many of you have good Christian parents, and you have no idea of how easy or easier it can make your life to have good Christian parents that support you. But there are people here tonight that don't have Christian parents, or they didn't have Christian parents. They didn't have somebody saying, "Hey, get up, go to church. Hey, I'm praying for you. I love you in the Lord. Is there anything I can do for you? Can we read the Bible together? Can we pray together?" There's somebody that didn't have that. There's somebody here that doesn't have a parent saying or asking them, "Did you go to church this week? How are you doing with the Lord?" You know what? They have to be responsible for their own spiritual life themselves. Well, why don't they change that from them? Well, because they have it harder than what you did. Some of them, I'm not saying everybody. We have to be patient. We can't accept sin. We can't justify sin. We can't excuse sin. But we have to be patient. And being patient with other people that don't have our spiritual level is a sign of maturity. Remember what you had to go through to get to where you're at right now? Does anybody here remember that maybe some of you had a very bad marriage before you came to Christ? Maybe some of you were to the point of divorce. Maybe some of you were to the point of losing your kids. And then you came to the Lord and you accepted the Lord and you grew up in the Lord and God restored your marriage. God restored your relationship with your kids. And now you have a different life because of the Lord. Is anybody in that situation that can remember that? Well, there's more people that are going through what you went through. And they just need somebody who can be patient with them. Is there somebody that struggled with alcohol before? Is there somebody that struggled with the casino? Oh, but we are spiritual now. They need to change right now. Do you remember how much you struggled with your sin? I remember Pastor giving the testimony of Brother Cruz Martinez over and over that when Christ came into his life, even the dog noticed the difference. See, we all have a story to tell, right? We all have a life that we lived. Don't ever forget where you came from. And don't ever get to the point where you want everybody else to change in a record time that you couldn't even beat. Be a spiritual person. Be a mature Christian. Go back to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to have to finish my message here. How to get to a maturity state in my spiritual life. Hebrews chapter 5. There's two things that are very important to follow. Hebrews chapter 5. We see the bad example of these Christians and what they lacked. Verse number 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. I don't know how you pronounce it, but either way. Number one, how to become to a good maturity state. Stop drinking milk. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself. Stop, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say, but stop relying on pastors' messages to be fed. You gotta be fed through the week too. Pastors' messages are a compliment that God uses or that God has for our lives through His church, right? But we have to be fed at the house too. Can you imagine not being fed for 3-4 days physically? Brother Parada, he came to preach a conference in Farmington, and he was saying that seeing the messages through live stream is like seeing a fire or a chimney having a fire through a TV. For as close as you get to the TV, you'll never get the heat, right? See, God uses sermons in the internet. Yeah, He does. Because it's His word. And his word will never come void. But God didn't destine YouTube, Facebook, or any of the social media to be your spiritual food. God destined the church. Apart from the preaching, you need the fellowship. Apart from the preaching, you need pastors to see your face, whether you're paying attention, whether you're falling asleep, or whether you're getting bored. And then pastor can pray for you. How can pastor see your reaction to the message if you're on the other side of the screen? Maybe you should put a webcam and then have pastor watch you too as you watch the sermon. Right? Stop taking the milk. Take strong food. Study. Buy dictionaries. Buy books. Hey, tell pastor, I know you don't have a lot of time, but can you please teach me on the rapture? Can you please teach me about the great tribulation? I want to know. You know what the greatest mistake that a human has ever made? To just listen to another human and sit himself waiting to see if it's true. You know what the first Christians did in the primitive church? Every day they studied the scriptures to make sure that the apostles were telling them the truth. Every day. Well, I'm being fed by going on Wednesdays. I'm being fed by going on Sundays. That's not enough. Study. Stop taking the milk. Oh, I don't like pastor to tell me about my sin. Stop taking the milk. You're a 15-year-old Christian. Get the diaper out of yourself. Be a man, be a woman, a spiritual person. And number two, how do I get to a good spiritual level or a good level of maturity? Work. Work. There's nothing better for a Christian than to work for the Lord. Well, I work for the Lord. I know that not everybody has the gift of teaching, but if you have the gift of teaching, study yourself to be a teacher in the church. Take a class. Well, I'm too old. I can't teach the kids. Well, teach the older people. Just have an older people club on Saturdays or Friday evenings. Hey, let's all gather and be a blessing to each other. And I'm gonna study myself to give you guys a good message. Youth pastors, marriage leaders. There's so many things we can do. Even directing the cleaning in the church, that's a ministry. That's a ministry. Do you know who's the last one or who is the last one that leaves the church? It's pastor. He does not stay here to the end just to see who leaves and who stays. You know what he does? He goes over all the building, making sure all the lights are off and making sure all the thermostats are off. That's a ministry that maybe you could take. So that pastor doesn't have to wait or to stay here in church another 15, 20, 25 minutes to make sure everything's locked, to make sure everything's off. Work. Don't be a lazy. You know how to work for the world? You know how to make money for the world? Well, learn on how to work for the Lord. Maybe an old lady's ministry. Maybe a young lady's ministry. A van. Taking care of the vans, washing them, cleaning them. I mean, there's so much to do that we don't have an excuse to not to work or for not to work. When Ms. Brenda was getting sick, it came to my mind, and if the Lord calls her, who's going to take that big space? And she went with the Lord, and you know what? She left a big, big gap because she did a lot of things. If the Lord calls pastor, who's going to take his place? Who's going to make sure that all the lights are off before you leave? Those are all things to think. Christian, be mature. Well, if Brother Jason doesn't do it, I won't do it. If Brother Daryl doesn't do it, I won't do it. Again, you're going to answer to the Lord for yourself. And it's just an example. It's just an example. Be a mature Christian. Stop fighting with other people. Be at peace with everybody. Appreciate your leader. What else did God speak to you about tonight? Let's all bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer.